And use this in a way to kind of reach out and to engage a little bit. And let me say this, that regardless of the background that you have and that I've had, I'm just going to share again that we all take up positions in life. And I want to say that the atheist position, now again, this is something for you as an atheist to take a look at, to engage, to not to be offended by, but to at least listen to, well, the criticism. It's very clear that an atheist can give out a lot of criticism. Religion is bad, Christians are bad, God doesn't exist, you know, all kinds of criticisms. Well, we're in the middle of a topic this week, and the topic is the atheist's abyss and friendship with Lucifer. Now, can that be possible that an atheist that doesn't even believe that God exists, oh, I mean, even stating that God does not exist, can it be that there is a friendship with a being they don't even know? Now, we're going to get into that Friday. Monday night, the title was "The Atheist's Ship is Sailing and It Has a Gaping Hole in the Soul." There's the abyss of hopelessness. Went over six things at the end of Monday night's message. For the atheist, when it comes down to life, well, there's no origin. There's no meaning. There's no source. There's no direction. There's no reason for the end of things like death or even the end of the world. And the issue of afterlife. So when it comes to the atheist, well, part of the criticism and part of what needs to be challenged is simply, what's the answer then? If you eradicate God and deny God and say God does not exist, what do you tell your children about the origins of the human race, the universe, the world that we live in, about meaning and purpose in life, about the source of life? Chance, aliens, God? What is the source? And then no direction in life? Where are we going? What is the purpose? What is the reason for existence? What about the end of days, the sense of catastrophic things coming? And look at the world that we're living in. And then there's the issue of afterlife. Well, the issue of death. Why do we even die? So we looked a little bit at that Monday night. And I want to say that I believe, and if there's an atheist listening, whether live tonight or maybe on the archives later, be it by the providence of God that you get a hold of this, that you might be challenged in what you feel is a secure position. Richard Dawkins, the atheist out of England, has written the book The God Delusion, about 400 pages. And in the book The God Delusion, Richard Dawkins sets out to convert individuals. That if you have religion, as he says it, that by the time you get done reading his book, you will be an atheist. The goal of the book that Richard Dawkins has written, The God Delusion, is to turn you into an atheist. And so it's not just a matter of a quiet atheist movement, but a atheist, proselytizing. Could it be? De-evangelizing? Well, that's what we're talking about tonight. And Tuesday night here at Survive to Thrive, the radio network, Steve Quayle. I'm the guest host, Russ Dizdar. And our website is shatterthedarkness.net. That's where you'll find the topic for the week, the titles for Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. Take a look at the website and you'll see also that we put up the book by the theologian, Alistair McGrath, and his book is entitled The Dawkins Delusion. So just as Richard Dawkins, the atheist, has put out a book to basically say to all believers in God that you're deluded and that it's a delusion to believe in God. Now, we want to look at the motivation behind that. And I've listened to Richard Dawkins debate individuals and speak. I've got the book here before me and reading other materials, and I've engaged atheists over the years, or at least those who say they were. Alistair McGrath, the theologian now out of England, says that before he became a believer in Christ, he was an atheist. So he writes a book called The Dawkins Delusion in response. So it's kind of an interesting response. And let me tell you this. The goal right here, if you're an atheist, if you're an agnostic, if you're a hedonist, whatever you might be in your background, let me tell you very clearly, it's not about winning an argument for me. It's not about saying, okay, I'm going to give you enough proof that you cannot deny God's existence. See, I can tell you all day long, God is real, God is in my life. There's no way that you're going to be able to take God out of me. You're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to reason with me and remove God. It's been 35 years walking with God, knowing God, experiencing God, seeing the prophetic of God in absolute perfection, seeing the answers to prayer. Listen, it's a joy. It's a relationship, as I said on Monday night. And so as we enter into tonight, Tuesday, the 25th of May, 2010. Hey, 2012ers, we're just a couple of years away. Will it be catastrophe, end of the world, beginning of a new world, a spiritual evolution to, human consciousness? Will it be all of that? Or will it be part of the fulfillment of the biblical end days? The great chaos, catastrophe, catastrophic upheaval, when peace is taken from the earth and bloodshed is unleashed. Will it be that and then a new world order? Is it all about really biblical prophetic fulfillment? I don't know about the atheist, and most atheists I know, they're not in a Bible study. They're not learning prophecy. They're looking at the world. And I think that a lot of atheists, and I'm going to say this to atheists, I think you're getting angrier. I think you're getting meaner. I think you're getting more bitter. I think you're becoming more arrogant. And I think behind the arrogance, and I say this as a human being that loves you, and I know that's hard for you to grasp. I say that as a human being that says that I love you, that the pursuit that I have, even in this 1 hour, even in the development of the series this week, the reason for my engagement is not just to argue and give you proofs, teleological, cosmological, ontological, manuscript, prophetic, you know, all kinds of things. I can stand there and scream and say, God is good. He's in my life. I feel his presence, power, pleasure, love, joy. And all of that is true. But not sure that that's going to be what's going to convince you. So we're going to deal with three questions. When an atheist says no God, what do they really mean? Three things. Let's touch on those in just a moment. Let me tell you first tonight, in the midst of this Tuesday evening, 7 to 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time hour that we have. I want to say hello to all those who are listening, believers in Christ everywhere, that I'm grateful that you're there, grateful that you listen, grateful that you put up the prayers, and grateful that you send us a note every once in a while. For the new folks coming in, and you're very acquainted with Steve Quayle, that he has opened the door for me to have this slot and the other three slots during the week. And let me just say that it's a privilege, that we're glad that we're here. We feel it's an opportunity that God has opened a door. So we'd like to hear from you once in a while, wherever you're from, even if you're listening to the archives later on. Send us an email at shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Let us know that you are listening. Send us some comments, some questions, and we will try to respond live during the show. Let's also take a look today, because, again, each day has in it, well, even as Jesus taught, enough worries. I mean, each day carries enough. And by worrying, you can't do anything, really. You can't add anything. You got to act. You got to, you know, for the believer, it's about believing God and acting and moving and responding biblically that will keep your life, you know, in peace and in God's grace. Now, I many times sign my email when I've done signings, you know, at conferences for my book. Many times I've put down Romans 15:13. Let me just share quickly what it is. And I know the atheists that might listen may not or even scoff at what I'm about to say. But I know that you've never experienced what I'm about to say. I know I have. I know many that I have prayed for. And I know that the biblical, one verse, one biblical revelation that I've really grabbed a hold of, I've written a training series with MP3s now free called Theocentric Counseling. If you want it, send me a note. I'll give it to you. I don't know. I think it's around 15, 16 hours. But the premise of the counseling is, well, Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, for the millions and millions of people that are depressed, dejected, discouraged, to millions that feel they have no hope, let me tell you something. That's one thing I can say for 35 years. And biblical hope means a divine assured optimism. It's not hope in hope. It's not simply saying, I hope the ice cream truck comes by tonight. It is a hope grounded in the infinite act of God, the infinite word of God, and God's actions, God's will, God's desire, and what God does. And so when I read that verse, may the God of hope, yes, I have hope today. I have hope no matter what is going on. Your body can be diseased. You can have children or parents that are in need of God. You can look at the world that we have right now, that North Korea is preparing for all-out war, as they say. North Korea, all-out war. It seems like they're bent on all-out war because they sunk the ship with 46 sailors of the South Koreans, and now the United States involved, and now the president's meeting with generals concerning discussions, and now South Korea is running war games, and so there is saber rattling. Jesus spoke about much of what's going on now in the world 2,000 years ago, Matthew 24. Some of the most, and clearly accurate concerning the end of days, rumors of wars. The skirmishes, the battles, the nations rising up against nations. A plurality. And so the closer we get to the end, here's the problem for the atheist, for the agnostic, even the hedonist, existentialist, nihilist, and so forth. Here's the problem. In that same prophetic chapter that Jesus spoke, Matthew 24, it speaks about a world with which is going to become more evil, a more catastrophic evil than ever in history, and that the love of most will grow cold. Now, I believe this is going to have a direct effect on those who have no hope. I believe that this will have direct effect on those like Richard Dawkins, who are atheists. For many dyed-in-the-wool atheists, it may make them even more angry, more bitter, more passionate, more arrogant, blaming it all in the depths of their heart on God, but yet declaring there is no God. So if there's no God, Mr. and Mrs. Atheist, how can you blame God? Well, then blame religion. That's what you can see. Blame every hypocrite. Blame every time political powers take over Christianity and the Irish Christians against the Protestants against the Catholics. It's all, that's all a political override. That is all a voiceover. That is all. It has nothing to do with Christ and biblical, real Christianity. And that's why I want to say that many atheists that are mad, and listen, many things in the world you can pull into yourself, like, I will say, Richard Dawkins has. He has, in his book, The God Delusion, and in the discussions, and other books that he's written, grasped many things that he feels are hypocritical, bad about religion, bad about the world, to use those to fuel the fires that there must be no God. And that, matter of fact, when I listened to a debate of his the other day, do you know what he said? He believed that parents that raised their kids in a Christian home, that's very similar to child abuse. Yeah, you got to understand, Richard Dawkins, the atheist, the atheist progressive, aggressive movement. And the book that he wrote, 400-something pages, the goal, to convert you to becoming an atheist and joining the declaration, the proclamation of the God delusion. And I want to say that this verse, Romans 15:13, for all of you out there, everyone listening, to the atheists too, but to the believers in Christ, this verse is meant for you. May the God of hope. It's kind of one of those blessings, not just a prayer, but it's so clearly in the will of God. It's not about asking, it's about stating. And so the blessing, the statement of prayer, guided by the Spirit of God for Paul, written down for us, is simply this: may the God of hope, of this assured divine optimism that's operative in your life, may the God of hope, this is the God that raised Christ from the dead, this is the God that has intervened, this is the God that touches our lives, this is the God that can heal, that can save, that can deliver, that's coming again. May the God of hope fill you. Now notice this word fill. Fill you all the way. Fill you. Not touch you. Not give a taste. But may the God of hope fill you with all peace and all joy. The idea here is that the God of hope will fill you up with peace and with joy. Now notice what it says. As you trust in him. Don't ever forget Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible, to the atheist we say this clearly, it's impossible to please God without faith. Because anybody that's going to come to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those that earnestly seek him. So I want to say to all the seekers out there, all of those who've been a part of institutional Christianity that has been diluted politically, where there's been syncretism, and where real Christ-like Christianity. And you've missed that. You've had religion, you've had mystery, you've had mysticism, you've had mystical feeling, but you've never had God. You've never had Christ dwelling in you. You've never felt the presence and power of the Spirit of God because you've never known God. You've known religion. You've known institution. You've known teaching in a classroom. For many, many millions of Catholics, that's the way it's been. But do you know God? See, that's what it's all about. If you really read what Jesus says, and by the way, Jesus is bigger than the Catholic Church. He's bigger than the Baptist, Presbyterian, the Episcopal. He's bigger. He's the head of, he has the right to deal with. As a matter of fact, listen, Mr. and Mrs. Atheist, the Bible does teach that God, judgment begins at the house of God. For those that do say they really are believers, they really do know God, they really do walk with God. Don't forget that believers in Christ are human beings, sinners like you and I, that have accepted the grace of God and turned to God, that means they've turned to the one that is perfect, but that they themselves are not. And so I can only point you to the perfect one. You can, and I listen to a lot of Richard Dawkins, and I've listened to a lot of the atheists, and a lot of atheists avoid talking about Jesus directly because he's done no harm to anyone. He did nothing but good. I mean, here is one of the best of the best. And atheism's motivation may be the very thing that blinds them and helps to blind them deeply from seeing or even looking at Jesus. But I'm going to say to all the believers out there, I say to you, Romans 15:13 today, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, So that what? You would be overflowing with hope by the power. Here now is the supernatural power of the Spirit of God. So that you would overflow. Listen, this is really incredible. Are you overflowing today? See, I know that when I was not a believer in Christ, when I ignored God and told God to get out of my head and made fun of Christians, back in those days, I did not experience the Spirit of God pumping into my mind and heart and emotion this hope, this divine assured optimism. I wasn't overflowing with that assurance and a joy and a peace by the power of the Spirit of God. See, all I had was myself. I had myself, I had my friends, I had some drugs, I had some alcohol, I had some music. You know, basically I was trying to, you know, being a hedonist back in the late 60s, but trying then to be spiritual in occultism, trying out everything, trying to find peace in Buddhism, in the temple. But nothing led me to direct personal relationship with God. And so whether, you know, I mean, Richard Dawkins, he can say, and an atheist can say, there is no God. They can't prove that, and Richard Dawkins knows that. They can only state it. I can state that there is God, God's in my life, that I know God. And they can't take that away from me. For believers in Christ, Romans 8 is a great chapter. Read all the way to the end. Nothing in all creation, not angels, demons, nothing, heights, depths, nothing in the totality of the vast, vast of all creation can take away the love of God that is in you because of Christ. Nothing. And so I say to the believers today, thank you for listening in. Thank you for keeping us in prayer. And I would say to all of you, keep us in prayer. Again, go to shatterthedarkness.net. Tons and tons of free courses, training materials, conference. If you didn't come to conferences, there's conference training materials there, courses, all kinds of things to help out. Right now, as we do this broadcast, we also do broadcasts that we put up as podcasts and have done, you know, hundreds of interviews. Now, they're all up also out there, and we've seen that about 60 nations of the world or more, individuals, Russians and Chinese, those in India, Bangalore and the Philippines and Japan and all throughout Europe. And I'm amazed at all the friends that we have all around the world, those who have now turned to God, found Christ, and are now in a relationship with Christ. Many who have written me and said, you know, they were, well, believers, but backslidden. Let me give you a hint of the end of today's show. Here's a hint of the end of today's show. You know what it involves? You know, if God seems far away, this is for the atheist, this is for even a believer that has kind of allowed anger and bitterness to crowd out their experience of the love, the power, the grace, the might, the magnitude of God. And so I'm going to pray for you today that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. And you might need to repent. You might need to get junk out of your life that is grieving the Spirit of God and keeping you from being filled. In the days that we're facing, you need to be filled. In the days that you and I are now engaged with, the coming chaos, the rise of Antichrist, eventual opening of the abyss, the preparations and developments towards Armageddon. Look at the world you're living in. And Christ calls you to stand and to walk and to become strong in the grace of God, the power of God, the might of God, the love of God. Don't let anyone or anything or any bad experience take away your response. Your response to the issues of life will have a lot to do with where you're at. if you stand and believe God and you refuse to give in to the world, the flesh, and the devil, then you're not going to regret, let alone the fact that you're going to see God grant into your life supernaturally a fullness of peace and joy in Christ and an overflowing, by the power of the Holy Spirit, hope. I want you to know that's what I have tonight. I have hope that family members will come to Christ, hope that more that are listening will come to Christ, that some backslider will come back, that God will stretch out his hand to save, heal, and deliver, that revivals can still occur. See, my life, I've got it already. No matter what goes on, I got a lot of bad things that go on. We all do. We live in a fallen world. We live where Satan has ramped up his presence in the world, as the Bible said it would happen, as never before. And it's going to only get worse. It's going to only increase. But it doesn't have to take away anything from your faith if you're going to be willing to stand and be strong in the Lord. So I believe the Spirit of God may speak to many believers tonight and that listen to the archives that you got to stand. And for the atheist, well, we got a big message for you. Come on back here in about 2 minutes after these commercials, and we will give you the other side of the story of the atheist. Back in 2 minutes. And so we want to say thank you tonight. Steve Quayle has been out there a long time. Tonight, SurviveToThrive.net, we are, doing the topic for the entire week, dealing with the atheist's abyss. And so I want to ask the atheist tonight, do you have any hope? What is the motivation behind the declaration that there is no God? Now, I want to just share something. 3,000 years ago, a psalm is written, Psalm chapter 10. Here's what it says. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. Referring to God. In his pride, the wicked does not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. You can read Psalm 53 and see where it says, the fool says in his heart there is no God. Now, there's a reason for that. And I have, I love to engage atheists along the way because we can, well, even as God says out of Scripture, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Hey, I want to say thank you to Joel tonight. He's written in. He said, hi, Russ, my name, and he gives his name, where he's from. Just found your website the other day. He's been listening to the MP3s. He wants us to know that he's very grateful. So we're grateful that you've written in. Thank you for letting us know. And let me tell you something. There's courses, materials, the apologetics things that are out there. And Joel's also requesting the newsletter. We're going to have one out, I believe, tonight, the 25th. It'll begin to go out and be up. And about twice a month, the newsletter gives you the newest broadcast, podcast, and things that are coming up. So we appreciate the prayers, Joel, the email that's come in tonight. And for everyone out listening, take about 2-3 minutes every once in a while. Send us a note. Let us know you're listening and putting up the prayers. We are here again. Listen, even to the atheist, even to the agnostic. And listen, we have a lot of those in the New Age and psychics and remote viewers in the government, those that are Satanist and real Luciferians, those that recon the show. They're listening. And we do trust that God's providence, supernaturally, even as we talk tonight about God's hope. See, tonight I am packed with hope. I know what's going to happen. We know in our own lives, and even when there's troubles, who we can go to. And as I've said, 35 years of seeing God work in other people's lives. See, I've been in the ministry for 35 years. And that's ministry to others, like what we're doing here and now. But in my life, see, I'm talking to you not out of just concepts and ideas, but out of the experience of my life. So what I say about God, what I say about Christ, what I say about the God of hope filling us with all joy and peace, that we might overflow with hope and assured, irrevocable, indestructible hope. I mean, there's the blessed hope, the return of Christ, indestructible immortality. And I know right now the atheist cannot proclaim that. You can't proclaim what you don't believe and don't experience. As a matter of fact, let me just dig into this. The atheist says there is no God. Richard Dawkins, the atheist, writing the book, The God Delusion, boldly is declaring there is no God, at least from what all he understands and all he knows and everything else. And the bottom line, well, three things. When the atheist says, and when you meet somebody and says, there is no God, what do they really mean? So I'm asking the atheist tonight. I'm asking whether you're a formal atheist and you've read books like this, or whether you're just kicked back somewhere in Montana and angry at the world or whatever else, and you, well, what do you really mean? There's no God? I mean, you could say that it's like telling me that I don't know my wife and I've been married to her for 30 years. It's like telling me that I don't have any children and I have one and she's 19 and I saw her today and she is a joy to me to see and to talk with and to kid with. I have a history of 19 years of interaction with that little baby girl. I know what it is to be a father and to try to be a good one. So to try to scream at me and say, you know what it is to be married? Sorry, I've been married 30 years. You don't know what it is to be a father? I've been a father for 19 years. And prior to that, for almost 10 years, we took in children from the streets, black, white, unwed mothers, babies, whatever, and sought to be moms and dads, in a sense, to them. And to say to me, there is no God, it doesn't shake me. It doesn't move me. It doesn't cause me to doubt. It doesn't cause me to worry at all. Because it's been 35 years. All I can say is that I can give you a history of my interaction with God. But this is where we come down to the fact. Either you have God and know God, or you don't. There's a reason why we don't. So to scream out and to say, the God delusion, there is no God, do you really mean, number one, you don't want there to be no God? You don't want God to exist. You don't want there to be a God that's out there because you don't have an experience. You don't know. You're angry. What could it be that the atheist deep in the heart is really just angry and just bitter and just doesn't know? And just without God in your life, without the supernatural presence of the Spirit of God in Christ in your life. Could it be that when an atheist says there is no God, number one, you really mean you don't want there to be a God? Because you don't want to be accountable. You don't want to deal with the fact that God says all of us are the ones that moved, all of us are the ones that messed up, all of us are the ones that cut off a relationship. We caused the problem. We can sit back and begin to blame God, as atheists in a way do, by denial. I mean, there are family members, there are dads out there that have nixed out their children. Family members that have burned their bridges. They have denied they even have children or moms or dads or whatever because of bad things that have gone on. So they've just simply decided to nix. I mean, it's like, are we running away? Are we just simply saying we don't want a mom and dad because we want to be able to do what we want to do, and we don't want anybody telling us what to do, and we don't want anybody to speak to us, we don't want anybody to engage our lives, we don't want anybody to interrupt our lives, we don't want anything in our conscience that brings any kind of guilt, any kind of responsibility. So I'm just going to say there is no God, and if I can somehow strong enough say there is no God, then I have no accounting. I have no one to answer to. Could that be one of the things that an atheist really means? I'm going to ask you if you're an atheist, because I'm going to say right now that whether listening live or listening by archives later, I'm going to say that prayers by the hand of God may have brought this broadcast to you. And whether a formal atheist or an individual that has said in their life, you've concluded, well, there's no God. Do you really mean, here, number one, do you really mean you don't want there to be? Because you don't want to be accountable. You want to deal with the fact that you are the one that is lost. You are the one that is sinned. You are the one that has offended God. You are the one. And I and the whole of the human race. I mean, if we can somehow scream loud enough, there is no God, will that take away when the scripture says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Or the scripture that says the wages of sin is death, the existence of this ugly thing we call death, is here because of your sin and my sin. And so the atheist can just say, well, I dismiss God, I say there is no God, and it's because, truthfully, honestly, I really don't want there to be one. Number two. The atheist or the individual that says there is no God, do they really mean, well, I really haven't experienced God. I don't really know God, so I can't say there is God. I don't know the joy. I don't know forgiveness. I don't know his power. I don't know. Listen, if I tell you that every single one listening right now, let me tell you something. We've done this by going house to house, door to door, thousands of homes back when I pastored churches. And what we do now, we have seen thousands, hundreds of thousands this year alone in just the other broadcasts. There'll be 1,500,000 downloads of our podcasts in up to 80 countries. Somebody's hungry for something. And see, my experience would be the Spirit of God will interact with you as you're listening. As I, whether you like Scripture or not, somebody wrote me not too long ago, said don't quote Scripture. As a matter of fact, I wrote a gospel track. And I was at a biker rock and roll bar witnessing to people and sharing Christ. And one of the bouncers got a hold of it, called me over and said, this is a good track. I like this. But can you take all the scriptures out? Can you take all of the scriptures out? He liked the fact that it talks about God loves people and God can give people peace and that God could give, you know, eternal life. He liked all the good things, but he asked me if I could take the scripture out. And it's the scripture that speaks with, well, God's love, God's authority, God's presence. So I can tell you tonight, man, I mean, if we sat down for 30 minutes and had a testimony type thing where, Russ, tell me about answered prayer. Tell me about experiences you've had with God. Tell me what it is for God to speak to your heart. Tell me what it is for God to work in your life providentially. Tell me what it's like for God to take you out of hard situations and bad situations and refresh you and renew you and give you a new day to bring you through things. Tell me what it's like when you've been engaged with spiritual warfare and exorcisms, when you heard demons screaming through possessed people and the authority of the living Christ crushed them and broke their presence off of a human being so that that human being could turn to Christ and receive God in their life. So I can sit down and tell you of experiences. Now, listen, the atheist and someone saying there is no God, it may be very well that you're saying it because you have never experienced God. And let me say bluntly, let me say because I love you, that if you keep your position, you never will experience God other than in the end of days. When you're nixed, when you're shut out, can I challenge you to open the Bible, get it on the net, go to Gateway, you know, BibleGateway.com. Go look at the Bible, the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, because there's power in the scripture. That's why a lot of atheists won't read it. It's why a lot of agnostics, when I was lost, I was a combination of atheist, agnostic, occultist, spiritist, Buddhist, whatever I could get my hands on. The only thing I didn't want to put my hands on was God, and I didn't want God to put his hands on me. Because everything in my life told me, you know, to hide from God, run from God. And two things. I didn't want to be accountable to God. And I didn't, up to that point in my life, know or experience God. See, that's what the gospel is all about. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only. So that, what? The whole goal? That you won't perish. Eternal life. You ever read the second verse right after that? John 3:16. Read John 3:17. Most people don't quote it. Most people don't even know. Most believers don't even know what it is. It's a massive revelation. Massive, massive. Did I say massive? You ever read First John or Gospel of John chapter 3 verse 17? God did not send his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to condemn the world. He's here to save. What does that mean? That means he's come, and what he's done at the cross, you can't deny the fact of the cross, what he's done there is take your place. What he's done there is to break the barriers that separate us from God, that keep us from knowing God, that keep us from experiencing God. What he's done at the cross, and what that's talking about, is the fact that God so totally loved us, he didn't send him to condemn us. He sent him to save us, to rescue us. God wants to forgive you. God wants you to look to him. God wants to come into your life. I'll say this 1,000 times. Maybe 1,000,000 times before I die, there's nobody that wants you more than God. Nobody that wants you more. If you're tired of human beings, okay. But after 35 years of knowing God, after about 19 years of not knowing God, let me tell you this. There's nobody that wants me, keeps me, encourages me, builds me back up. No one that wants me more than God. And if you're listening tonight to this second part of the series on the atheist's abyss and their friendship with Lucifer, atheists are going to have to listen to Friday night. That's what we're going to talk about, how an atheist really is in bed with the devil. Richard Dawkins is really experientially in bed with the devil. You can't see it. It's like a blind man walking across a busy intersection. A blind man that's also, he can't hear. How can a blind man, and you can't even hear, walk across a highly busy intersection? You can't see and you can't hear. The atheist cannot see. The atheist cannot hear God. So when someone says there is no God, do you really mean, number one, you don't want there to be? Number two, you simply haven't experienced God. You have none. Number three, the man that cries out, the woman that cries out, there is no God. Now see, for Richard Dawkins, for Madam, well, if you remember back in the 60s, Murray O'Hara, she wanted prayer out of the schools. It wasn't a matter of private atheism. It was a matter of saying, no, I'm going to sue. I want you to stop doing prayers in school. I want you to stop your religious stuff. I want you to stop. I mean, you've got an atheist that has written a book called The God Delusion, 400 pages, Christians. For a lot of atheists, that may fuel the arrogance and give some sense of blanketing your arguments. But do you really mean you just don't want there to be a God? Do you really mean that it's because you haven't experienced God? Number three, does it mean that there's simply not enough of your kind of proof? Your kind of proof. What if you're a woman and you meet a man? And you love the man and you love the man and you love the man and finally you come down to the marriage and you get married, but the man's never said, I love you back. It seems as though the man loves you. It seems as though he does. But you want to hear it. You want to hear it, and you want proof of it, and you want actions, and you want something to show you that the man is interested, the man loves you, the man wants you. How many times does he have to say, I love you? How many times does he have to give flowers? How many times does he have to prove it? How much proof do you need that God exists? I mean, it's very, very clear if you read the Gospel of John, even after raising Lazarus from the dead, there are those that instead of saying, wow, no one in all of history up to that time, no one in all of history since that time has ever said, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. There is this Lazarus come forth. Now you have Christ walking on the water, Christ commanding the storm. You find that God in Christ, creation listens to him. He has power to forgive all sin. Authority and power over all satanic presence, over disease, over, listen now, over death. So the atheist says, well, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. But there were those that did see it. I want you to check out your heart. I want you to look deep into your life and to really ask the question, what really is the reason you would declare there is no God? Is it because you don't want God to be there? You don't want to acknowledge that you have sinned, that you're lost, that you're in need, that you're going to die? You don't want to believe there's a hell? So if you can nix God out of your mind, then that would also get rid of the devil and get rid of hell. At least, listen, can you get rid of God by just making a statement? Can you get rid of God by writing a book called The God Delusion? Let me say on this side of the fence that it's real hoot, that it's a laugh, that it's 400 pages. What's behind the pages of Richard Dawkins? Why is there such motivation to not only declare and believe personally there is no God, primarily because there's not enough proof in Richard Dawkins' demand for his kind of proof, because there's been evil in the world and evil that some people connected to religion have done. What about Christ? Was he evil? Did he do something wrong? Did he sin? Did he cheat? Did he lie? Can I ask the atheist tonight? Denying God, does it mean really that it's because a bad world we're living in, therefore there just simply can't be a God? God wouldn't have made this mess. Could it be the atheist really has anger and bitterness and disillusionment in their life? Denying God because you've had a bad life. Your life is bitter. Your life is painful. Your life is hard. You've been abused. You've been hurt. You've been put down. You've had hypocrites harm you. And so the conclusion is, without any experience of God, there is no God. Listen, to deny God in your head, well, it's one way of trying to cover up or burn away the fact of sin. A strong, committed atheist, I'm going to tell you this, tomorrow night and specifically Friday, makes room for the devil himself. Makes room for the argumentation that comes from Hell's Kitchen. Listen, tonight, 7 to 8 p.m., we've only got 1 hour. Survive to Thrive, the radio network. We appreciate Steve Quell and all that he does. And tonight, Russ Dizdar. I'm your host or your guest speaker. You want to know more about us and know more about the series this week and some of the archives of the past weeks? Well, go to shatterthedarkness.net. Let me tell you something. Regardless of where you stand right now, if you're an atheist, you don't know God, you're an agnostic, whatever it might be, let me tell you something. There's great value in pursuing God. get in the Gospel of John. Begin to just to put prayers out. God, if you're real, make yourself known to me. Go to the Gospel of John and begin to read. Research and study. Open up. I know one thing. God is pursuing you. His presence within pours out to you. God loves you. You can come to Christ right now, tonight. Listen, write to us, shatterxml@sbcglobal.net. We are done with this hour tonight. End of the hour. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you tonight. Good night.